This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Good day, everyone. I'm Ron Insana, and welcome to the U.S. Lens. Today, we're putting the lens on China to focus on recent political, economic, and market developments that have caught the attention of the rest of the world. And in particular, the Chinese property market and their private equity markets have been areas of focus for international investors. Joining me now to talk about all those things and more is Ajun Chen. He is head of private equity China for Schroders, and Kelvin Wong, head of China real estate. I thank you both for being with us. And Ajun, if I may start with you, just if you can give us an overview of what exactly is happening in China in the broadest sense. We're getting a lot of news flow here in the U.S. with respect to the political situation there, geopolitical tensions between the U.S. and China, the state of the property markets and the markets generally. Is there an overview to be had for China right now?
Yeah, so I think before we talk about recent regulatory reset here in China, so let's take a look at what have been achieved and what are the challenges here now in China. So since China began to open up its economy in 1978, GDP growth has on average almost 10% a year. And more than 800 million people have been lifted out of poverty. China's high growth based on resource-intensive manufacturing exports and low-paid labor have largely reached its limits and have led to economic, social, and environmental imbalances. In addition to that, aging population as the result of 40-year one-kid policy. Therefore, in July this year, Chinese government has some new regulatory reset aiming to promote sustainable growth and a common prosperity here in China.
All right. So Kelvin, with that said, though, along with those changes have come some unsettled financial markets in China and concerns also about President Xi's intentions, both internally and externally. What should the rest of the world know about the current state of affairs inside the country?
Thank you, Ron. I think that will refer back in probably in August last year, when China imposed the three red line policy on domestic developers. Basically, it's against a backdrop of the growing debt level as well as the rising land prices and the booming residential sales. Maybe I just kind of explained, you know, the three red lines. You know, in terms of the policies to the audience, basically it's the ratio of the liabilities to asset of less than 70%. Developers will also need to meet the net debt to equity ratio of less than 100% as well, as well as the cash to short-term borrowing ratio of at least 1x. Developers failed to meet the red lines. They will have limited or basically restricted access to any of the new debt. In terms of the immediate impact to the property markets, this is basically to control the housing prices, as the Chinese government is very mindful of the market rise of the prices over the past 15 years. The other point is to manage the land market as well. It has already been in a relatively high land price level over the last 10 years. The Chinese government also wants to stabilize the residential markets, just to ensure that there will be a sustainable future rather than the past high turnover model. But all in all, the policy aims to force the domestic developers deleveraging to improve the financial health for longer term sustainability.
And June, we're seeing some regulatory changes more broadly speaking, in addition to those around the property markets, as Kelvin just described, with respect to antitrust, data privacy, after school tutoring. Can you explain what's going on there and whether that is indeed moving China towards a more sustainable economic model?
Yeah, happy to do that. So take antitrust as an example. China does not have antitrust law until February this year, in order to catch up the global anti-monopoly trend to protect the right of laborers and the consumers. Data privacy is another example. US has GLBA passed in 1999 to protect non-public personal information. China did not have data privacy law until November 2021. So as to this after-school tutoring, K-12 private education. So for-profit after-school tutoring institutions recruited best teachers from public schools. only rich families can afford private tutoring at the price of public resources. So the new regulations help to reduce inequality in education and boost the birth rate by lowering family living costs.
All right, so Calvin, with respect to that too, regulatory pressures have upset to a certain extent, as you mentioned, the residential real estate market. And we've heard obviously over here about some potential defaults among some of the larger property developers. It seems to have hit residential more directly than commercial real estate. Can you tell us a little bit about the pressures facing the real estate markets in China and whether or not they will go away soon?
Well, thanks. We believe that the fundamentals supporting the real estate value remain solid in China. Problems in the residential sector need not imply long-term negative adjustments or reductions in the commercial property values. Banks, you know, from our observations, are still generally open to new lending, as well as to refinance some of the better existing assets. With the terms and pricings, which is more important, similar to the level that we were seeing, you know, in the past 6 to 12 months. We are also seeing some near-term selling of investment assets by the in-debt developers to raise capital. And there might be some reappraisal of the appropriate risk premium to the Chinese development asset, which causing some cap rates to rise. But overall, we believe the current crisis should be transient and largely confined just to the China residential sector.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
And June, how about private equity with respect to the investments there? When broadly speaking about sectors, have any been negatively impacted by the regulatory changes we've seen?
According to the latest industry data, so less than 10% of investments in China of the PE industry is impacted. So K-12 private education in specific. However, vocational education sector is benefiting. So are TMT and the consumer sectors, because we believe the market power of technical giants will be better regulated.
All right, now, Kevin, with respect to investing in China for the longer term, particularly in real estate, there is a concern certainly in the West that China's, particularly the residential market, has been wildly overbuilt. We hear talk of ghost cities and the like. Is there any risk of contagion to the Chinese economy from the real estate markets if property developers should default and this situation should persist for much longer?
We believe that some of these events, they're actually more singular distress rather than on a wider market perspective. Besides these three red lines that I just mentioned, there are also other policy, for example, the two-way pricing limits, as well as the lowering mortgage lending by banks. This is basically in support of the central government's policy of housing is actually to live, but not for speculative. And the government at the same time is also actively intervening in the situations. This can be evidenced by the centralizations of the related legal proceeding across different regions and provinces. The involvement of the local governments to ensure completions of the constructions, as well as the smooth delivery of all the residential projects in the pipeline. There's also recent easing of mortgage regulations, M&A, as well as interbank bonds channel rules, which might not help the distressed developers, but should support the overall sector in a long-term sustainable perspective. So far, the impact we see in the broader economy and the financial system have been manageable. Although further defects and bankruptcy might be expected, but the risks of what you mentioned in terms of the contagions to the financial system, we're expected to be very limited.
June, if you could give us a broad outlook for private equity in China, very long-term view, and how you see it unfolding, given all the regulatory changes we've discussed, and whether or not it changes how anyone would model company growth and exit values in the future.
Yeah, so overall, we are very positive about the Chinese growth perspective in the long run. And there are three drivers of the Chinese economy. The first one is the consumption upgrade, which China has the largest, single largest market in the world. Second, China is experiencing the so-called urbanization, which provided the second driver of the economic growth. So the third one is actually those made in China 2025. So basically China is developing those self-sufficiencies in order to keep very long-term development growth. So with these three drivers, we are very positive on the Chinese private equity market.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. Appreciate your insights on China. I've been speaking with Jun Chen, head of private equity in China at Schroders, and also Kelvin Wong, head of China real estate at Schroders as well. I'm Ron Ansana. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be back with another US Lens in just a matter of days.
Well, that was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, check out our website, schroders.com/theinvestor download. You can also get in contact with us about anything in the show or ideas for future shows at schroderspodcast@schroders.com. Please remember to subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review. We're now doing one show a week, which will be available every Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. Thanks very much for listening, but above all, keep safe and go well. Cheers.